the first passage you're going to turn to is not in 1 Peter. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's begin our series in 1 Peter this morning. We begin our journey in 1 Peter. We're going to go verse by verse through this letter. But I want us to always understand what we're doing when we study these books of the Bible. We call them books of the Bible, but really there's one book. It's called the Bible. And every book in the Bible tells the story of Jesus Christ. Before he came, when he was here, and how we live now that he is in heaven and the Holy Spirit is here. So the whole book, the Bible, is about Jesus Christ. And these are actual historical letters written by actual historical people to actual historical people. These are not Aesop's fables. These are real historical documents. These people really existed. These are real letters. But the Holy Spirit, God by his Holy Spirit, has ordained that certain of these letters, we know that these guys wrote a lot of other letters, but certain of these letters have been chosen to be in what we call the canon of the Scripture, C-A-N-O-N. Basically, these are the books that we feel are inspired by God, these documents, to be in the Holy Bible. And so that's where we are, 1 Peter. But before I get to the first verse of 1 Peter, I want to start with an introductory message to kind of set up what we're going to be talking about through 1 Peter. And it begins not in 1 Peter, but I want to read to you a verse from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Watch, it is the evidence of things not seen. Unseen evidence. Now, I don't know if unseen evidence would hold up in the court of law, but this is God's law. Faith is having faith in evidence that is unseen, but it's real. It's evidence. It's real. It's actual. It's just not seen. We believe the evidence by faith. John chapter 20, verse 29 says this, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Those who have not seen and yet believe. So I want to talk about faith today because 1 Peter is going to talk about faith. 1 Peter, he's going to be writing to us about how to live by faith, and in particular, how to live by faith in perilous, difficult, hard times. How our faith is going to be tested. How our faith can grow if we allow it to be tested, and how our faith can grow stronger. And I really wanted to set this up today by laying the foundation of faith, because here's the deal, guys. To me, Christianity is not a religion. Now, follow me through here. I don't have a problem with the word religion. I know in modern churches we say, "I'm not religious, I have a relationship," and I get that. That's absolutely true. The word religion is just things that we define. People put their faith in different belief systems. So in Wikipedia, Christianity is probably a religion. But in reality and in practice, Christianity is faith. Christianity is a choice to believe something. It's not signing up for a religion. I know a lot of people today, because when they take these polls for these political polls and things, y'all, when they take a poll and say, "Are you a Christian? Are you evangelical? Are you whatever?" Listen, a lot of people in America, they're just listening to choice A, B, C, and D, and they're picking Christian because they're not Buddhist. They're going down multiple choice because to them, Christianity is a religion. Which religion do I choose? Christianity in reality and in practice is not a religion. It is faith. It is believing in something that really we cannot believe. We cannot see. I may blow your mind a little bit today, but here's what we're believing by faith. We are believing by faith that there is a God. That he's not just some type of force being out there giving off some kind of sonic waves or something. He's not just kind of light force. That he is a real, actual God. That he is the actual creator of all that is and our creator. And here's the big deal. Not only is he real and he is our creator, but that we can actually really know Him. Now, that step is mind-blowing, that we can actually know God and have a relationship with God. I believe that by faith. By faith, I believe that everything the Bible tells me about Jesus is true. By faith. I believe this by faith. John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word. And when you go down this chapter, we keep everything in context. When we go verse by verse through books of the Bible, we keep things in context. So I'm real big in the context. You read this whole chapter, you will know that they're talking about Jesus Christ here. The Word. And for those listening online or by app, the Word, that W is capitalized. It is talking about this being Jesus Christ. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's so important. The Word was God. So Jesus Christ didn't begin in Matthew. He began in the beginning. He was God, not like in some uninspired versions of the Bible where they'll put one little letter in there and change the entire meaning. You will find some uninspired other religion Bibles where it says, and the Word was, and they'll put a God. Listen, you put that little A in there, it changes everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I believe Jesus is God. Here's things I believe about Jesus by faith. He was born of a virgin. I believe that by faith, because I don't get how that happens. But I believe that by faith. I'll never be able to really prove that scientifically. But I believe it by faith. I believe He lived a sinless life. The Bible tells me He did. I believe He died on the cross. He actually lived. He actually died on the cross for my sin. I believe He rose from the dead. These are wild things, guys. I know we go to church, so they're just going to, right now you're kind of tuning me out because those are just things, yeah, we've heard that. Those are wild. That there is a God, that God actually came, born of a virgin. How? I don't know. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross once and for all the sins of all mankind, and He rose from the dead. I am so churched. I've been in church. I started going to church about 9 months before I was born. That's when I started. I don't remember those first services very well. It was all real muffled, but I remember later on. But I've been going to church. So you can get so churchy sometimes that you go, yeah, Jesus, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. These are wow things. Wow. But I believe them by faith. I believe that the only way I can reconnect with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. We really believe that. Jesus is the only way. He's the Savior. Now, there is evidence. We don't have blind faith. Some of your friends will go, wow, you believe in this myth, this story. This, it's not blind faith. The Bible tells us, and you look around, there's plenty of evidence for this faith. In fact, the more your faith grows and the stronger your faith grows and the more you understand the Word and you start to see through spiritual eyes, the more that you see there's a lot more evidence in the things we have faith in than what other people have faith in. Other people will say, I can't believe in that. A God became a man, died on the cross. Oh, really? How do you think we got here? Well, there were these Martians, see, and they planted this seed. Wow, okay. There's a lot more evidence, I think, for the things we believe in by faith than some of the other things. And then it might seem that you're taking this leap of faith in the beginning, but in reality, it's going to get more and more logical. I'm going to get to my illustrated sermon in a little bit, but I want you to just notice these rocks I have in here someone made for me for this sermon. Because our series in 1 Peter is going to be called Rock Solid. And we want to make sure that our faith is not just shallow faith, but our faith ends up being rock solid faith. It starts by being saved by faith. I have saving faith. I believe those things, but I want to go beyond that. And hopefully some of you will get saved today. If you're not saved today, you haven't started this faith journey, man, today's your day. For the rest of us, we've started this journey. I want to talk about living by faith. I've been in church all my life. I'm a pastor. And I do not have all the answers. And any pastor who acts like he does needs to get rid of that pride in his life because he has no clue about some things. One thing I loved when I joined the Calvary Chapel movement, they were some of the first pastors that were willing to say three words. I don't know. I loved it. Chuck Smith probably knew the Bible more than anybody I've ever met in my life. And sometimes he would go, guys, we just don't know. We don't have to act like we have all the answers. I'm saved by faith, but I have to live my whole life, and you do too. We still have to live by faith that these things are true, because I'm not going to have absolute proof of creation. I'm a creationist. I actually believe in a young earth, six-day creationism. I'm not legalistic about it, but that's what I believe, because I don't see anything in the Bible that disproves that. But I'll never be able to prove that. I believe that by faith. I believe all of these things by faith. That's how it is. And I think it's God's way of keeping us honest. He tells us just enough, but we always have to have faith to say, I don't understand it all. I hope you're not a new Christian today and you're thinking, wow, when I'm a Christian as long as Pastor David, boy, I'll know everything. No, you won't. We're all going to die going, I don't know. Some of the answers we just are not going to know. God keeps us in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For I live by believing and not by seeing. That is faith. I believe everybody has this faith in us. See, we're all connected to Adam and Eve. I really believe in a literal Adam and Eve. And so if you really think, God created them, He breathed life into them. And so we now have this connection spiritually to God through our human lineage. So I believe in everybody there's this root of faith, but it gets buried. It gets crushed. It gets squeezed. It gets pressured. And this faith just almost disappears, this connection to God. And that's where Satan wants to keep it. And he's going to use distractions. He's going to use your own faults, your own failures, other people's hurts. He's going to use church people who do stupid things. He's going to use pastors who do stupid things to make sure that that little root of faith stays buried and covered up and you never, ever see it. But we come to the point of saving faith where I say, okay, I believe, and the Holy Spirit now comes inside of us. Our faith comes alive and we have this connection. But I have to live by faith. I want to show this passage in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus taught about faith. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, listens and follows, is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So here are some different kinds of levels of faith. You're building your faith on some type of foundation. If I build my faith on Jesus Christ, He is the solid rock. And Jesus says, if you listen to my teaching about who I am, not just love each other. People love that kind of Jesus teaching. But Jesus also said, I and the Father are one, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If I listen to Jesus and I obey His teaching, now I'm building my faith on solid rock. Not just hearing, but doing, right? James 1:22 tells me, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. Because here's the truth, guys. I hate to tell you this. I know it's early on Sunday morning. First service. Hope you got some coffee in you to receive some not so good news. We're not just a good news church. I got to give you the whole truth. Because here's the truth, guys. He tells us this. Rains will come. Flood waters will rise. Wind will beat against your faith. It's this thing called life. It happens. Hard times happen. We bring a lot of it on ourselves just by our own sinful choices. But there are other sinful people in this world that bring it on us too. And just this fallen world and then Satan coming against it, rain will come. You will never avoid hard times. Everybody has a life verse. What's your life verse? It's always something light and fluffy and clouds and bunnies. Nobody ever has a life verse. In this world, you will have trouble. That's my life verse. And yet, that's life. Rain comes. And if I'm built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, now I have a solid foundation. Some people are going to choose a different foundation. And it doesn't matter what other religion they choose. There's only one real religion. There's only one faith that really reaches God. I really believe that. I know that's intolerant, but that's really what I believe. Someone else can build a foundation on some other belief, whether it's atheism or a different religion or humanism or whatever. They build on that foundation, and it's just like building a house on sand. Now, we are in Florida. We know sand. We live near the beach in Florida. I bet if I went through your cars right now, I'd find sand in most all of your cars out there. It's almost impossible to get it all out. So we know you don't build on sand because it's not even a halfway decent foundation. It's not like it's even, well, it might work. It won't work. Rain, floodwaters, wind, you build on that foundation and it is gone. And these are people who build on something other than Jesus Christ. But Peter's going to be writing to believers. So I want to focus on believers today. We've chosen to put our faith in the solid rock of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't necessarily mean that our faith is rock solid. Because there are some people here today, some people listening to me, your faith is in the solid rock, but your faith is not rock solid. You know, it's a choice. I'm a free will. I've been telling you lately, I'm not Calvinist. I'm not Arminian. I am free willian. So y'all tell everybody, that's who we are. We are free willian. I believe in free will. Free will to be saved. Free will to make choices every day. What a powerful thing this free will is. I have free will to grow in faith or not. Now, it's my job as a pastor. The Bible tells me my job description in Ephesians to build up the church, to equip the church, to do the work of Jesus Christ until we're all mature. So that's going to take until we all die, till we all get mature. So my job is not to force you to grow or force me to grow. My job is to grow myself. I have to make my own choice to grow in my faith. But my job here is now to give you opportunities to grow in faith, but you don't have to. Your choice. And some will get saved and they will never ever grow in their faith. And their faith might be on the solid rock, but their faith is not going to be rock solid. And they're going to have floods, waters, and their faith is going to be shaky today. Peter's writing to these new believers, and I want to give you a little historical background so we can relate. When Peter's writing, it's about AD 60, 64, right in there. And the emperor Nero is in power in Rome. Nero was like a lot of the Roman emperors. They believed they were gods, believed they can get away with anything. They were corrupt. They usually would, they almost always were paranoid. If they felt someone, even their own mother or their brother or family member that was trying to take over the throne, they would have them banished or killed or tortured. So here's Nero. All this power he had in his hand. And around this time, we know from history, he wanted to tear down about a third of Rome and rebuild it for his own glory. More beautiful buildings and palaces. He was going to do eminent domain, guys, when he didn't even have to call it eminent domain. Just tear down a bunch of stuff, rebuild it, put my name on it. That was his plan. Now, Rome did have a government system, so there were people in the Senate who said, no, we're not going to allow you to do that. Nero, though, was not going to be denied. Most of you probably studied in history the fire that Rome is burning. Well, Nero, it is believed, no one knows for sure, but it is believed that Nero actually started the fire that ended up burning a lot of the city of Rome so that he could start building this. And people started rising up against him. And so, history records, he decided to find a group of people that he would use as a scapegoat. These new so-called Christians, followers of this guy who said he was king of the Jews. And some of the things that you have read about, this major, major persecution that went on, came from this event. Or Christians were tortured in ways that I won't even speak about here. We hear things happening now. We hear of beheadings now, Christians. But just go home and study some things that happened to the Christians during the days of the Roman persecution. Things much worse than beheading. That's what's happening here in Rome. Peter is writing this letter. Now, at the very end of 1 Peter, he's going to say, Peter, writing from Babylon, there's different disagreements of what he means by that, but most scholars are saying he means Rome. Because they have to talk in code. When they would write these circular letters like this one, it would travel around to different churches. Sometimes they'd have to write in code just for some kind of protection. And most people believe that Peter is writing from Rome as he's seeing this happen. This incredible persecution. That's the author. The recipients are the believers in Rome and around the whole world as this letter gets passed around. That's the setting. That's what's going on. We're in America, and we are blessed, man. This country, it's an amazing country, and God has blessed this country. I believe that the number one issue today, and I don't think it's just because I'm a pastor, but I think the number one issue today for America is religious liberty. Do we have it or do we not have it? The founders of our country didn't really say, I mean, if we study, they didn't really say, let this forever be a Christian nation. They said, let this be a nation of religious liberty. Now, they fully understood at that time that Christianity was going to be the dominant, preeminent religion. Maybe they meant it for always to always be that way. I don't know. But what they did set forth was religious liberty. And not just freedom of worship. A little controversy in politics right now. Should we see freedom of worship or freedom of religion? Freedom of worship means you guys are okay right now because it's Sunday morning and you're in church. But when you leave this building, you cannot speak and live out your faith. You're free to worship, but your religion doesn't leave your four walls. It's almost like get in your corner, stare at the wall, you Christians. But when you turn around, you can't act like you're a Christian. That's not what the founders gave us. We have freedom of religion, which means I can believe whatever I want. I can speak whatever I want. I can live however I want. Everybody else has that freedom. So we ought to. I think religious liberty is the biggest issue of the day. So we're now facing this rising tide of oppression against us, against you. Not against just Christians. Secular Christians are cool because secular Christians aren't really biblical Christians. They don't really believe Jesus is the only way, that everybody has to believe in Jesus or they go to heaven or hell. Secular Christians just mean love everybody. Jesus is cool and so is Buddha. That's a secular Christian. Biblical Christians say, no, here's what the Bible says. Now, oppression's coming against us right now. It's different than when I was born. A lot different than some of us, right? It's going to be a lot different for our youth group. So this persecution is going to come. You know that bumper sticker that says coexist on the back of people's cars? Do you know that doesn't mean you? You're not in that. Oh, yes, I am, Pastor David. It's the T. No, you're not. Because ask them what they mean by that T. Am I allowed to say Jesus Christ is the only way to God? No, that is not the T they're talking about. That T in the coexist is a secular Christian who does not demand that Jesus Christ is the only way. You're not on the bumper sticker. And they're going to try to come against us and try to push us down, make sure that our kids aren't taught this, that we can't do this. It's happening in America. Who knows how far it's going to go? It's really bad in other nations. Not so bad here yet, but it's coming. It feels like it's coming. I don't know how far it's going to go, but that's the trajectory. It's going to come against our faith. These rocks are symbols of our faith. And they're going to help us to identify what kind of faith that we have today. A lot of people have saving faith, but they don't have rock solid faith. Oh, I'm not saying they're not saved. Their faith is in the solid rock. But they don't have rock solid faith. Some people's faith is soft faith. And I just want to kind of describe what I would say soft faith is. Soft faith says, and a lot of Christians are believing this now, some pastors are preaching it. Well, Jesus is one way. It's my way. There's no hell. God would be a monster to send people to hell, even though the Bible talks about it. I know the Bible says this about this and this about that, but we have to make sure the Bible is culturally relevant. And it's a soft faith. It's a fuzzy faith. It's not solid. And I hope this isn't you today, because here's what will happen. Pressure will come. Winds will blow. Floodwaters will rise. And Satan's going to use all of that to squeeze your faith. To the point that there will be nothing left. And the more he squeezes and the more he squeezes, and your faith just shrinks down to nothing, because there's nothing solid about your faith at all. It's just fluffy faith. And that's not Satan's goal. His goal is not to get you to where you're still saved, but you have soft, fluffy faith. His goal is to get you to the point where you are so crushed and squeezed that you no longer have any faith. And your faith will get to the point where any little flick of Satan's temptation will knock you away and your faith is gone. I hope this isn't you, but that's pretty cool, isn't it? You can just have fluff. There you go, David. Good catch, man. I'll need that back for Sunday, too. Soft, fluffy faith. I tell you what, it's not going to stand the test of time. It's not going to stand because you don't have a soft, fluffy enemy. We have an enemy that wants to destroy us. I want to read this passage, Mark 4. Go down to Mark 4, guys. Mark 4, 14 to 19. It's time talking about faith as well. Jesus teaching this parable. The farmer plants seed by taking God's words to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. That's his goal. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. All right, I receive it. I'm saved. But since they don't have deep roots, their faith is soft and fluffy. They don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems, because you're going to have problems. Or as soon as you're persecuted for believing God's word, your faith just falls away. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. Look, I don't have a lot of teenagers here because they come to Sunday too, but I'd like to tell them, worries are coming. Stresses are coming. I mean, look at us. I mean, teenagers, look at us. We get old. You know how we go to old? It's stress. It's worry. These wrinkles. I lose my hair. It's worries. Stress. It's genetics too, but worries of this life, the lure of wealth. Wow. Hello, America. The lure of wealth and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. That's Satan's goal, to get you to the where your faith is so soft and fluffy that he can pressure you to nothing. Then he just blows you away. Some Christians have hard faith. Solid. It appears solid. They're doing all the right things. I hope this isn't you today, but every church has a lot of people like this. It looks good. I go to church. I read my Bible. I serve. I follow rules. I follow regulations. I know what Christianity is. I can quote scripture to you. It's a hard faith. These are people who I would say are more religious than relationship oriented with Jesus Christ. People who have hard faith. A lot of you right now are in our church because you grew up in a church that had hard faith. Oh, they had their rules. They had their regulations. They had a whole lot of don'ts. I mean, there were the Ten Commandments and then there 150 others that came after that. Hard religious faith people are always ready to point out other people's sins. Here's what they're doing wrong, Pastor David. Here's what they're doing wrong, Pastor David. And your faith becomes so hard on the outside, but not on the inside. Soft faith people fall into grace abuse, but hard faith people fall into legalism and religion, and they become judgmental. The Pharisees were hard faith people. Matthew chapter 23. Look, this is Jesus talking. So if you're a Pharisee here today, sorry, but he's talking about you. Here's what Jesus says. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? Hypocrites, he calls them. For you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourselves, and you don't let others enter either. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell you yourselves are. Don't hear a lot of people quoting these verses of Jesus. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you... Oh, I already read that. Go ahead. Go to the next one. A little farther down in that chapter, 23. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Now, I want you to read the next three words, because here's what Jesus said. He didn't say, stop tithing, you Pharisees. He said, you should tithe. It's not a New Testament principle, David. Yeah, it is. Sorry. Jesus said, you should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. In other words, your 10%, if you're doing the 10%, but you are treating people horrible and you have more mercy and grace, your 10% doesn't mean anything. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, in verse 27, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. I mean, really, I know we go to a lot of effort, and when we bury somebody, we want to have a really beautiful place where they're buried, and that's good. That's for our memory. But it's this beautiful, whitewashed, keep it clean flowers tomb with dead, decaying bones inside. And that's what Jesus says this hard faith is like. Solid and yet crumbly. That can be broken into pieces. And that's what Satan wants to do and will do. If you have a hard religious faith, there will come a time when your faith will shatter. Because some of you did, and you came here, and you found a grace church. And you found a church that preached truth, but also preached love. And now you have found that your faith was nothing but hard, rigid faith. The only faith that's going to stand up to pressures, stresses, trials, temptations, the attacks of Satan, is true, rock-solid faith. Satan can try to blow this away all he wants. He can huff and puff. Nothing's happening to this faith. You can squeeze this faith. I can do anything I want to this faith. This faith, I can break this table with this faith. This faith is not going to budge. I'm not going to throw this faith because it'll hurt. This is rock solid faith. That's the kind of faith 1 Peter is going to try to get us to have. Because I'm telling you, life is going to happen. And some of you are going through the hardest things you've ever gone through in your life. And if your faith is not rock solid, you're going to be blown away or you're going to crumble. Some of you, my life's great. I haven't really had many trials. You will. Sorry. You will. You'll hear bad doctor's reports for you or somebody else. You will. Things will happen and you'll cry out, why God? And nobody's going to be able to give you the answer. You're going to call me and make an appointment, and we're going to have an hour in the sitting room, and I'm going to go, I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is that God is real, that Jesus Christ is God the Son, that He was born of a virgin, that He did live a sinless life, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He rose from the dead. I know that when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, comes and lives inside of you, and now you start to grow. And as your faith grows, and these things come against you, Satan can't touch this kind of faith. We need to get this kind of faith, and 1 Peter is going to teach us to have solid faith. Rock faith. Last verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. I'd love to tell you bad things aren't going to happen, but if you're soft and fuzzy faith, if you're shattering, hard, fragile faith, here's what God says. I will take all of those things that happen to you, your choices, other people's choices, fallen world, fallen people. I will take all of that. And if you let me, I will work all that together for your good so that you end up having this rock solid faith that nobody can touch. Listen, rock solid faith people aren't afraid of the election in November. Rock solid faith people are not afraid for the future of the church. I just spent the whole weekend with 1,700 high school teenagers using their gifts for Jesus Christ, music, art, sermon, everything. 1,700 of them over in Orlando. I put it on Facebook. I'm not afraid for the future of the church because I have seen the future of the church in our youth. I'm not afraid. Are there things to be afraid of? Absolutely. But my rock solid faith says, I'm not afraid. This is what you need. This is what I want to pray for you to have this morning. Next Sunday, 1 Peter verse 1. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for this word. I thank you, God, for those today who have come here, who have heard this word, and whose faith is going to grow today. God, by faith, our faith is going to grow today. If you're here and you haven't even accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's where it starts. You can't have strong faith in a God if you don't express that faith through Jesus Christ. So today, that root of faith that Satan's trying to hide, that he's buried, you're going to recognize it. You're going to say, I choose to believe. And when you believe by faith and you really mean that faith, the Holy Spirit comes in and you are saved. You've expressed saving faith, and there's nothing Satan can do to take that away from you. You choose to believe, it's a done deal. As long as you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and you choose to believe, you are secure by your choice to believe. So if that's you today, you haven't accepted Jesus, I'll give you this. You're not going to be whisked away anywhere. It's you and God, man. You need to talk to God. You need to know that you are saved today. If that's you, pray this prayer and mean it in Jesus' name. God, I believe in you. I believe you are real, and I believe you love me. I believe in Jesus, that he is God the Son. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for my sin, and he rose from the dead. I don't understand it all, but in faith today, I choose to believe. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. God, forgive me of my sin. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Holy Spirit, live in me. Lead me and guide me all the days of my life. I thank you, God, for my salvation. In Jesus' name.